So now we have Nikolai Vasquez, who's come all the way from Atlanta to tell us about how we can improve performance in our Rust programs, and give him your attention, and it's going to be a really good talk. So take it away.
Thank you very much. So, yeah, hi, I'm Nikolai Vasquez. Some of you might be familiar with my work in the Rust community, such as the static assertions crate, or recently Devon, which is a benchmarking library that I'll be discussing in this talk. And so this title, I realize, is a bit of a misnomer. You can't really prove performance. Like, there's just various factors that make this impossible, such as, for example, there's various system conditions that could affect performance depending on machines, and you could be working over different data sets. And so rather than considering this as proving performance, this is more like getting a vibe for performance. And so by show of hands, how many people are familiar with measuring performance of their code? All right, so the vast majority. Great. All right, so you're all experts and you don't need me. So, and you'll probably know this, but when we discuss the what performance means in software, we're usually talking about how fast it is. But to me, in broader terms, performance is more about how software uses resources to achieve a desired result. So along with thinking about the time that's being spent in our software, we should also be considering the amount of memory that it's using. I think that's a very important aspect of performance. And so making good software can be a balancing act of trade-offs between time and space, and so it can be a bit difficult. And as developers, the way that we write code can have a pretty direct impact on the performance of our software. So for example, we could be using really inefficient algorithms with a time or space complexity of O of n squared, O of 2 to the n, or whatever that yellow line might be. We might also be repeating computations instead of saving previous results. We could be choosing to use slower operating system APIs. So for example, waiting on sockets in Linux with the select system call versus epoll. But also, performance can be bad for reasons that are out of your direct control as a developer. So at a micro level, for example, the CPU might not have cached the data that you're requesting, and instead it'll have to reach for main memory. The CPU might also expect the wrong branch to be taken, and it won't speculatively execute the correct branch. As well as the CPU might be waiting on previous computations before executing subsequent code. And then at the macro level, looking out, other cases might be that the network has really poor latency or bandwidth. Other processes could be using excessive amounts of RAM, and that can cause the OS to swap memory to disk. Or your storage might be on a slow device, like spinning hard drives instead of SSDs. So when it comes to performance, why do people choose Rust? I believe that the central reason to pick Rust for performance is it's in its community. I find that the community's culture of performance has led to many zero-cost abstractions, ranging from async await in the compiler to very fast standard library APIs. And we also see this culture in third-party libraries. So people will try to make their code work really well in constrained environments in the embedded space, or people will focus their attention on how well they're using time and space, so how fast their code is and how much memory it's using. And as well as the community has developed many tools to measure performance. So this really does speak to the culture. And now that we have a sense for what performance is, how do we go about measuring it? So for the sake of simplicity, I'll only be covering things that can be implemented with the Rust standard library. I'm not going to be covering, for example, hardware performance counters, because each operating system has different APIs for that, and usually accessing them requires root privileges, and that can be difficult. So let's consider a simple operation such as allocating a vector of 100 integers. We could try timing it by using the standard library's instant type, and this is generally considered an all right approach. But the results may be surprising. It might just say 0 nanoseconds. And so why is this happening? Well, it turns out that the compiler is smart enough to realize that the value wasn't actually used, and so it optimizes out the allocation. And so when you're benchmarking, you really should pretend or at least trick the compiler into believing that the value is being used. And so the standard library provides a black box function, and you can use that to prevent the compiler from optimizing code that you want to run. And I find that a lot of people don't reach for this, and they should. And so now that we're using this, we're actually getting higher timings that are more realistic, and this is evidence that we're actually now measuring the allocation time. But why 500 nanoseconds? How consistent or accurate is this timing? Well, it turns out that if we run our code repeatedly, the times can fluctuate greatly. So the numbers might vary because of noisy system conditions or like some of the things that I mentioned earlier. And you might wonder, well, okay, then how can we get a better sense of our code speed? And you could dive into existing solutions. What I generally recommend for practicality's sake is you should use an existing library that implements this correctly. And so recently I created this library, Devon, that is for exactly this. I wanted to make a tool that makes it very easy to do correct measurements and be able to compare various pieces of Rust code. And so to me, I would say Devon is so easy that it's a comfy benchmarking library, because a Devon sofa is like a comfy bench. And so that's why I named it that. You can read a bit more about it on the announcement blog post that I have on my website, but I'll also dive into what Devon can do for us today. And so I wanted to make Devon really easy to use, and I wanted the way to register benchmarks to be very simple. So I came up with this very simple yet powerful attribute macro that behind the scenes will generate the code that's needed to benchmark a function. And this might look familiar because this is also how you register unit tests in Rust. And like unit tests, registering benchmarks with Devon can also be done anywhere, not just in the same crate as your benchmarking runner. And you can also, I also take advantage of this feature within Devon by measuring internals of Devon with Devon, which is kind of meta. And so given the previous benchmark that we wrote, it's pretty straightforward to adapt it to Devon. We just stick it in a function and then mark it as bench, and then Devon will be able to run that. And after executing our benchmark, Devon presents us with pretty succinct information about how it ran. From this, we can see that the best speed was measured at about 70 nanoseconds, and this realistically represents how fast the function would perform under ideal conditions. And we also see that the worst case was measured at about 200 nanoseconds, and so there's various things that could play into that. It might not be necessarily the code itself, but the situation around the code. And then we also have median and mean, which represent the average time that the function took to run. And we can also see that these values are pretty close to the fastest sample, so we can be fairly confident that this function will generally perform at this speed, at least on this machine. And so to give some insight into how Devon is running this code, we see that it's reporting the number of samples and total iterations, and this represents how many timings, samples represents how many timings Devon has measured, and then iterations is the number of repetitions across all the timings or all the samples. And if we divide the iteration count by the sample count, we end up getting what I call the sample size, which is how many iterations per sample. And so we see that each sample took about 64 iterations. And this is chosen dynamically at runtime based on how much time is spent in earlier samples. And this number can be higher for faster functions, or it can be as low as just one iteration per sample for really slow functions. But if we want to measure not only the time to allocate a vector, if we only want to measure the time to allocate a vector and not the time to deallocate it, then the way this would work in Devon is you simply return the created value from the benchmarked function, and this will defer freeing the vector until after the sample is finished being timed. And since Devon will automatically black box the returned value,